everybody. It's good to be here with you today. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. And I got to go to a wedding. Actually got to officiate a wedding for two of my former students. As some of you guys don't know, I used to be a student pastor. And I got to go and officiate a wedding. And there was a time at the end of the wedding, they had the reception. And then there was a time of dancing. And I didn't embarrass myself or you. Okay, I want you to know that. Somebody said, sure, I heard that. The father-daughter dance happened. And This girl's dad, her name was Chelsea. He is this big, strong, tough, silent guy. Just like you, and then he started dancing with his little girl, and you better believe it, he started crying. He almost got ugly cry. You know what I mean? It was right there. And I was moved, man. I was like, okay, first off, thank God I don't have a daughter, because that would have been me, and it would have been worse, and it would have been, you know. The second one was this, and if I have a daughter, I'm going to be just like him, okay? Just be wrecked, totally wrecked. The other end of the spectrum is, when this happened, it struck me how great this father loved, how immense the love that this dad had for his daughter was. And I guarantee you he was thinking back about tricycles. He was thinking about when she was born. He was thinking about all this stuff, and it wrecked him. And I found myself a little misty-eyed, and I look back at Amy, and she's not misty-eyed. She's almost ugly crying, too. I mean, it's coming down. And it has struck me today, something that I feel just compelled to tell you today, that we looked last week and saw that God is love. And that's expressed in the fact that we hear God is Father. And some of us maybe have not had great father experiences. Maybe our father was a tough guy. Maybe our father did not love us like he should. Maybe our father was absent. Some of us did have great fathers who just loved us. And now when we hear God is Father, we smile. However, whatever you think about dad, God being Father is an amazing thing. And we're going to look in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32, Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32, and I want to walk with you for a second through this little parable that Jesus tells. I want us to look at God as Father. We're going to take just a brief break from our First John study, and I want us to look at God as Father today. And in this parable, it's called the parable of the prodigal son by most people, but really it's the parable of the amazing Father. And I just want to read this to us today and kind of walk through it. So we're going to start in verse 11 of Luke chapter 15. If you've got a Bible, great. If not, I think it's on the screen. Robert is the man. Got that. Appreciate you guys back there in the sound booth. Verse 11 says this, and he said, there was a man, and this he's speaking is Jesus, by the way. And Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. Don't you love just the Bible is practical so often when you see this. There's just a story about a man and two sons. And we see this in verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, hey, father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Now, this is a small statement with big ramifications. Basically, they didn't give you stuff. The father wouldn't give you stuff in this time period unless he was dead. You got an inheritance. So he basically said, hey, dad, I wish you were dead. Give me what's owed to me, and I'm going to get out of here. That is pain right there. I have a three-year-old. He causes me pain sometimes, okay? Sometimes by a karate kick to the head. But I can't imagine what it's like for him to say, hey, I hope you die. Give me what's owed to me. Let me get out of here. And then verse 13 says, not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had, and he took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. It's like, I'm from Panama City. It's like he said, let's go to spring break. Woo! I got dad's credit card. Let's get out of here. I don't want him to know what I'm doing. I don't want him to see what I'm doing. I hope he's dead. And I'm going to go and live my life how I want to live my life. Now, some of you who are parents and maybe have had this happen, you're thinking, I'm going to get that guy. Okay? I know just like that has happened. Some of you kids have done it. You're like, yeah, that's what I wanted to do. And so we get to this point here. This story, even though it was written and Jesus told it thousands of years ago, it still applies to us. And so then we get up in verse 14. It says this, and when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. The party was over. The cash was gone. The card was maxed out. The prosperity in the land was gone. He's hungry. Once a guy who had a ton of cash in his pocket has nothing. The friends are gone, and look where he is. Verse 15 says, so he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed pigs. Now, that to a Jewish person was like beyond despicable, because they found the pig, because of God's law, to be an unclean animal. And so the fact that this guy, he was high on the hog, living a life, and he got all of his father's inheritance, he left. And he was living the high life, and then he hit a. Then his life wrecked, and he's now lower than low. He is sleeping with the pigs. John and Amy Ayers took us out to see some pigs. One of the first weekends we were here, because we're trying to get inundated and be a part of the culture around here, okay? So she decided to take us out. John and Amy decided to take us out and take our little three-year-old boy out to see the pigs. Well, you're thinking like Babe, okay? Or like one of those stories like where the pigs are all clean and stuff. Dude, we could almost smell it through the car. That was a smell. You could tell, like, he's from the city, okay? I know. I'm like, whoa. And you're trying to, like, you know, play it off. And even Judd's like, that stinks. He didn't want to go up in front and see these pigs. These pigs are in a pen. They're huge. They're gross. They're doing gross things. And they're lying on each other. And it's just gross. I got back in the car and looked at him and said, that gives the prodigal son a whole new meaning to me. Because look in verse 15 again. Look what it says. So he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to. Now, this is a gross statement. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. Remember all those friends that I'm sure he had with his was wild living? They're gone. He's feeding pigs that stink and are disgusting. And he's looking at the pig food thinking, I don't know. That might be pretty good. You ever just fed your dog and been like, you know what? This kibble seems delicious. Give me a bowl and some milk. Let's go to town. You ever thought about that? Some of the stuff that Kevin makes is actually, like, we could eat it, but we don't think you should. You ever been like, you crack open that kibble, like, ooh, gravy. This would be excellent. This guy is down low. He's at the end of his rope. He thought he had one idea about how his life was going to go. He's going to tell, hey, Dad, die. Give me my money. I'm going to go have a good time. The party's over. He's down so low that he's one to eat pig slop. And then in verse 17, we hear this. But when he came to himself, he came to his senses. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, and I perish here with hunger? He starts thinking about home. You know, my dad, he treats people fairly. His servants, even the ones that he hires to help him, they have enough to eat. What am I doing? And so he comes back, and he says, verse 18, I will rise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. So he's got this speech. You ever done that before where you're having to go and you're having to pay the piper somewhere and you're rehearsing your speech? Okay, so I'm going to go in. I'm going to say, I did wrong. This is how I did wrong. And then someone tell you, this is what I'm going to do to make things right with you? I know you've never done that, right? I mean, I was in student ministry for a long time, and I would have students come to me and say, all right, this is what I'm going to tell my parents. I said, why don't you try the truth? That might help, okay? But this guy's going, and he's going to know he's going to have this confrontational meeting with his dad. And so he's rehearsing his thing. He's going to come up, and I think this is genuine. I don't think this is anything but genuine. And he says, Dad, I screwed up. I just want to come home. I sinned against God, and I've sinned against you. And I want to come home. And I'm not worthy to be your son anymore. I just don't want to eat pig slop. I just want to come home. Make me a hired servant. I'll work for you. Just let me come home, Dad, please. I'm very sorry. I mean, this is legitimate. We can see contrition. He knows that he is screwed up. And he's coming back home. Verse 20, or verse 19, he says, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And then verse 20, this is, if you got your own Bible or if you're highlighting on your phone or whatever, highlight this verse because this is an amazing verse. And he arose and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, when he was just a silhouette on the horizon, his father saw him and he felt compassion. And then who runs? The father. It was very undignified to run in this time because they wore these big, long coat, tunic type things. And so you've ever heard of the idea of girding up your loins, which is a very odd idea. In the Bible, they use it, especially in the King James Version, they use it a lot. It's the idea of taking your tunic and tying it up kind of like a diaper so you can run. Because it's hard to run. I don't know this. It's hard to run in a dress, okay? And that's basically kind of the idea they got going on. You're thinking, how does he know? Okay, I've been told, okay? So he would just kind of tie that thing up, and he would bolt. And so this father was apparently looking for that son, and he saw his son, and he felt compassion. And then he takes off running towards him. This is not the Jewish audience of this time would expect that the guy would be running with him towards stones and other people to jack him up, say, because it was bad news to dishonor your father and mother at this time period, for sure. It was a sin punishable by death. And look, this father runs. What does he do? And then he arose and he came to his father. But while he was still going away off, his father saw him and he felt compassion and he ran and he embraced him and kissed him. I kind of wonder if, and this is just imagination, if the kid, when he saw his dad running, was like, you know, he's going to knock me out. And the dad runs up and he embraces him and he kisses him. And then it says, and the son said to his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven. And before you, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and celebrate. We're going to have a party. Bring it. We're going to have a good time. My son who was gone is back. For this is my son and he was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to celebrate. Woo, party time. Now, let me tell you, in Luke's gospel, his recording of Jesus' life and ministry, this occurs in a section of scripture with a bunch of parables, and they're all about things being lost and then being found. And how people will tear up their house looking for the lost coin. And so here's the cool, great thing about this. Today, you just rolled in. You maybe rolled in because it's Father's Day. You maybe rolled in because you think, I need to go to church. You maybe rolled in for whatever this morning you got here. I'm glad you're here. Hopefully you got caffeinated enough to be here. And so we're here this morning. I want you to know something. You are not here on your own accord. There is a God who is seeking lost things. That is amazing. And a lot of us have this idea of God as just being judgmental. Now, God will judge. There's no bones about that. But God has provided a substitute to stand in our place, who is Jesus Christ, to take our judgment for us. And he did that so he could be a God of great love. And so this morning, when we see this picture that Jesus is painting, is of one who's been far off from God, who maybe in by their lifestyle choices, maybe by just their attitude, maybe by just their heart, is far from God. And you would expect, and you would expect a scolding to happen. Well, let me tell you what you've done wrong, son. If you did this wrong, and you did this wrong, and you did this wrong. No, the contrition was obvious. You know why? Because the kid said, Dad, I sinned. And even before this, he confessed that he had sinned. The father's running, and he's hugging him. That is a picture of God from the mouth of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, that if you have run far away, you can come back today and not get a scolding, but get grace because he has paid the price for you today. So are you far off? Okay. You're here today. God's seeking you. He brought you here to hear this good news that he is a father. He's a better father than I would be, definitely, okay? I think there would probably be some smacking if Judson had done all this and come back. It'd be like, hey, now you can come back in the house, okay? But no, this father who we see in, we see the love of God in this father, he runs and he embraces him and says, let's have a party. They are back. And I, man, I don't know about you, but I long and desire to be a part of a church where it's a party when somebody who's been far off comes back. And not I told you so party. We just trust the grace of Jesus a lot more than we have to be right, right? Being right is overrated. It really is. God's always right. And we seldom are, honestly. Unless we're speaking his words. And so we got this idea. So here's the call. You want to see a good father, Father's Day, a father which we could emulate men who are fathers, is God who is a father who loves us. When we return to him, and even he was seeking us before we were even close, he's seeking you. And he brings us in, and he loves us. And then not only do we not get what we deserve, but we get all this grace, which is like, not only is like, hey, son, welcome back. You can stay in your old room, but we're not going to make too big of a deal about it. He's like, woo, okay? A little Ric Flair thing, like, woo, okay? Seven people got that. He's like, he is home. Okay, let's have a party. You go get the steaks. Okay, nail gun that cow. Let's do this thing. We're going to eat it. Let's get it going. Let's bring a ring, man. He's back part of the family. The ring would have been something that signified he was part of that family, probably some kind of crest or seal. Give him a fine-looking robe. Remember, he wants to eat pig pods, and he comes home, and then all of this stuff is available to him. He says, we are going to throw down party style. Let's do it. And here's the message for you this morning. If you are here and you're a long way off, there is a God who will welcome you home. Amen, right? He forgives. He has paid the price so that you can come home. And you don't have to get the lecture. It involves repentance, turning from your sin, trusting him. And that's what this man did. And he was welcomed. He came home. He ran to his son. And he hugged him. That's God's love. Jesus is telling this parable to show us that God is seeking those who are lost and far off. And if you are lost and far off this morning, I cannot tell you that there is not a better father in the world than God, our Father, who sent his son, Jesus Christ, so that we may have life. And so come home. Just come home. That's the thing. Come home today. You've been far off. Just come on home. Come on home. Turn from your sin. That's death. Turn from that. Because what does the Father say? He was dead and now he's alive. That's death. That's a death over there. Keep going your way. That's fine if you want to do that, but there's death down that road. Just absolute death. Spiritually, physically, emotionally, it's death. Down the road that goes away from the Father is death. But when you come back, there's a hug. There's an embrace. There's a new position. There is a being a part of the family again. And there is a party. And so my message to you this morning, if you're far away, is come on home. You don't have an unreasonable father. You have a remarkably graceful father. So just come on home. Just come on home. Turn from your sins. Trust him. Come on. And then we see this. Verse 22. Actually, verse 25. Remember, they got this party going. We're going to celebrate. There's two sons, remember? Remember that? Verse 25. Now, his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard the music and the dancing. I was probably didn't sound like that, okay? I don't know what it sounded like, okay? But, hey, I don't know, chair carrying around, I don't know, but this in my mind, it's and he's like, what's going on? So he walks back in, and he called one of the servants, and he asked what this thing's mean. Hey, what's the dance party going on at dad's house for? Okay, what's that going? Why is that happening? And then he answered him. He said, your brother's come home, and your father has killed a fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. And he was angry. Weird. Now, let's cut the older brother a little bit of slack for a second. This guy told his dad. They have the same dad. I hope you die. Give me my money. And he goes off and he spends all his money and he wastes it. And then I think he had to be thinking, you're going to let this guy back in? You're going to let him come back and then throw him a party after he had gone out and done all this stuff? Really? Really, Dad? And so the anger's building up. And he was angry in verse 28, and he refused to go in. Now, notice this. Remember, this is not about the sons. This is about the father. In verse 28, it says, his father came out and entreated him. Remember, there's actually two sons in this passage that are far off. One was far off in proximity, but one was far off in heart. Do you realize something? You could be close to the things of God and not know God. That's what this guy, he was close to the things of the father. He was helping in the father's business. He was doing all this kind of stuff. And he did not have love for the father, as we're going to see here. But the father sought him out just like he sought the one who was way off. God sought him out. And so we see here that the father, in this situation, goes out and meets the older brother. And we see in verse 29, it says this, but he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. Now, that's an odd statement for us today. It was like, hey, you never gave me enough money to have a party, okay? Because I'm like, I don't want a goat. I mean, that would be, why would he want a goat? That was for so they could have kill it, roast it, have a party. Verse 30 says, and when this son of yours came, this son of yours, see, he's got disdain in his heart for his brother. And some of this, there's really some parallel ideas what we're talking about in 1 John. When his son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. I've been here doing what's right, serving you, and this guy comes in and he devours your property, and you're going to welcome him back? And you can kind of, the heart issue is kind of being shown in this guy. The property gets mentioned, the cash gets mentioned twice. You didn't give me a goat. I want your money. You didn't give me, I mean, this guy devoured your property. He's taking some of the inheritance that would have been mine. If you still had that extra inheritance, you could have invested that and made more for me. So when you passed away, it's becoming very evident that this guy loved the things that the father could provide for him more than he loves the father. And it's resulting in him being very angry at the other person. Here is something that's very true. You could be seeking the things, the benefits that God gives you without seeking God, and you just miss him altogether. I want peace in my life. Big whoop, so does everyone else. God, some kind of cosmic, like, slot machine? Put a quarter in, maybe give me some peace. No. See, the greatest thing you could ever have in your life is the knowledge of God. It is. I promise you that. No amount of rules can change your heart. No amount of, quote unquote, benefits can change you. It's the knowledge of who God is. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to see these benefits of following Jesus. They're great and they're awesome. But at the end of the day, it's whether or not the Father, who is this amazing Father in this story, is loved. What are you going to do? The main issue is not, are you hot and cold to the things of God, or are you hot and cold to the rules? No, the main issue is, what is your relationship like with your Father? The one who's created everything. The one who has been remarkably gracious to every one of us, even though we've been through struggles and hard times. The one who has brought you here today. The one who has sacrificed his Son for you. The one who loves you and has pursued you to this point. The one who is working everything in your life, either for his glory if you know him, or for hopefully your salvation, or even sometimes even destruction. He's at work. He is so good. And sometimes we miss him because we want the things he can give us. And so I want you to notice something. The Father in both instances is the hero of the story. Remember, this is supposed to be, is pointing forward to, this is the fatherly love that God has for those who are lost and far away. And God loves both sons, one who has was in outright rebellion and one who was in rebellion that was a little more palatable to us. He's around. He's around the things of God. He shows up for the things, but he's still far away in heart. And in both situations, the Father is reaching out to him. Because look what happens. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out to him, and he answered. Let's go down to verse 30. But when the son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. In verse 31, and he said to him, this is the Father speaking. Let's let these words echo in our hearts. Son, you are always with me, and all that's mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this brother was dead and is alive, and he is lost and he is found. Really, Jesus is speaking to two different groups of people. He is speaking to the sinner who is not ashamed to say, I'm a sinner. Those are really far off. And he's also speaking to the Pharisees, the religious people in the Bible who are close to the things of God, but far from him in heart. And so this message is for those of us who would be on the rebellious spectrum and those of us who would be on the religious spectrum. This message is that the Father is seeking both sets of groups out. He's seeking you out, and he's calling you to love him and to love his work. He's calling you to love him and to love his work. He's calling you to love him because the real issue with both boys is that they told their father to die. One did it outwardly, and one did it inwardly. They both had no love for their father. They only wanted what the father could give them and not who he was as his person. And secondly, both of them were far off. One in heart, one in distance. And he invites them both back. Come on home. Come to the party. See, one group is out there and they're suffering the consequences of their sin. One group who's religious, they're really suffering the consequences of their sin, but they're missing out on the party. I've been a lot of places. And I've been in a lot of churches, and you can kind of tell the churches that are excited to be at the party. What do I mean by that? There's some places, like, if you had a party at the church, it would be like, crickets, crickets. Like, this is a lame party. And there's some churches I've been in where somebody comes and professes faith in Christ, and you're like, dude, the roof on this place is going to go off. Like, woo, yeah! And it's not like, hey, you know what I saw them doing a couple weeks ago? Do you know what they did to their mom and dad? Da, 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 da. No, it's like, Jesus saved them. That is awesome. Because here, really, both boys are actually in the same heart condition. They're both far from God. And God's inviting them here. The Father's inviting these two boys into the party, and God's inviting us into the party today. You're far off, come back. You're far off because you're religious and you want to look down on other people and you don't want to be gracious, come back. You're far off because you just run away, you did things your own way, and it's not working out for you. And even if it is working out for you, you see that your Father is loving, and you see that your Father is good, you see that His way is better, come on back. And then the second thing about it is this: once you come back, you got to enjoy the party. I got to go with Marshall and Rosalie to celebrate recovery this last Monday night. And they give out, it's a Christian-based AA program. If I'm saying this wrong, you let me know. But they give out chips for people who have just, you know, heard different levels of sobriety. I'm telling you something, man, that does something to me at its core. Because when you see somebody, they give out these different ones, and there's one chip that you kind of start off with that's a blue chip. That means I'm just going to try. And then CR says, we're going to come and help you. And so there was about three or four people that got up and went and got these chips. And it's almost like this parable in action. Like these people who were a long way off, they're coming. I don't know if this is going to work. I'm going to tell them I'm sorry. I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know if they're going to accept me back in. And then there's just grace, and they just come. And then there is love. And then everybody's like clapping, hooting, and hollering. And I'm like, do not get ugly crying here. Because this is just a picture of the gospel again and again and again, where we're so far off, whether we think we're far off or not, we are a long way off. Whether we're far off and we're openly sinning against God, or we're far off because we're just religious and we want to point out everyone else's flaws to make us feel better, we're still in the same boat. But the same Father comes to each of us and says, come home, I am good. And so there's nothing like coming home, is there? It really is not. A home is some of us, a military kid, home has been a different place for me a lot. It's a new transition to home. Getting to hear Judson say, I want to go home. Home is really where your heart is. That the feel, sometimes you just, it's not the actual physical layout of your house that brings you home and that makes you feel at home, but those things remind you of home. Right? I remember at my grandmother's house, she used to have this screen door. And you guys know what roly-polies are? I'm sure there is some kind of like scientific name for those things. I remember in the summertime, it was in Dothan, Alabama, okay, which is like the devil's armpit, hot, okay? According, they got this screen door. And I remember sitting there after the rain had come and the steam's coming up, but it's still just cool enough for after the screen door open. And you see those little roly-polies down there, and we play with them in between the door and the inside of the house, right on the threshold, a bunch of roly-polies you get in there. I played with those as a kid. And, you know, I that's weird that would be a memory that would stick out to me. But why? I was with my grandmother. I was at her house. We were home for the summer because we were always gone. And so it felt like home. And those little things that make the synapses fire and the memories happen. And I want you to know something. Whether you realize it or not, you were created to glorify God and to know Him. That is your purpose. And we miss out on it, whether it's because we're trying to be overly religious, or that we've tried to find happiness, satisfaction, love, joy, peace in this other way. There's only one way to that. There's only one way to God. There's only one way to peace with God. There's only one way to salvation. It's Jesus Christ. This is a parable showing us of the great love for the Father. And the call this morning is to come home. Have you been in sin, far from God? You've had problems with stuff we've talked about, loving your brother. You've been far off in sin. You're a believer. You know that he's your Father, but you're far off. He's coming out to you today, so come on home. You're far away, man. This church, I know, they're going to welcome you. But more importantly, God, he's running to you right now. He's seeking you out. He's drawing you. So just turn from that sin and trust him. And we're going to have a time after the service. I'm going to hang around the front. I think I'm the only elder here today. The other two guys are on much, much deserved and needed vacations. And so if I could talk to you about that any further, I would love to. We got some other folks in here who love the Lord will point you to Jesus. But I think it's what's fitting to do this is just to respond to God. I'm going to ask Clint to come up. We're going to sing a great hymn of the faith about God's love for us. It's just fitting. Last week we talked about God is love. This week we see God's love and the fact that he's a father. So we're just going to stand together, and we're just going to declare, before we do the Lord's Supper, before we give back, we're going to stand together, and we're just going to sing and worship about how great the Father's love is for us. So if you would, let's pray, and we'll sing. God, thank you that you are a Father who loves us, who pursues us, who gives us grace, who calls us when we are far away, whether we are whether our distance from you is visible or not. You call us home. You're so good to us. Thank you. And so, God, the ones you're calling today, the ones you're running to seek, God, I pray they turn from their sins and trust you. God, I pray those of us who we see that even though you're our Father, that we're far away, that we would turn from our sins and trust you, whatever that may be. God, we want to respond in love to you. Your love is so amazing and unconditional. Thank you for being a Father to us, even when we are unlovely and far away. God, thank you so much. Let us respond in singing and through the Lord's Supper and through giving. And we pray all this in the name above every name, Jesus. Amen.